Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship.
Good morning. Come. Want to welcome you to the Boonsmeal Church of the Brethren worship service this morning. It's Palm Sunday, and we're delighted to have all of you here. We do say a warm welcome. We have some guests with us this morning visiting, and we want to certainly give a warm welcome to you as well. We're welcoming everyone in the sanctuary this morning. For those in the Sunday school rooms that are not wearing masks, for medical reasons, we want to welcome you to our service this morning. And we have people out in the cars with the drive-in service, and you are being welcomed as well. For all of you, we're glad that you're here on this Palm Sunday morning as we come together to worship God and just pray that our time together will be a time of true blessings. Well, today we're in the sermon series, How to Face Our Future, Part 10 today, How to Avoid Arguments. And, you know, we all need help in order to not be in combat, so to speak, with other people, other family members. In other words, we get in arguments and we tear each other down and we do all kinds of things that are hurtful and harmful and ungodly, and we need help. We need help not to do that. We need help to get over that. And what we need is help from Jesus. And He has promised, I will help you. He will be the friend that we need to be forgiven and to do what we need to do in order to get along with others. So as we prepare our hearts for our message this morning, we need Jesus in everything that we do. And we certainly need it in the message of how to avoid arguments. I want to ask you a personal question as I begin our service this morning. Do any of you ever argue with anyone? Oh, I can tell by that look on your face what you're saying. You're just like me. Yes, you argue with people. Husbands and wives argue together. Parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren argue with each other. Neighbors, we argue with coworkers. Well, we're going to look today at what James has to say about how to avoid arguments and try to answer, why do we get into arguments and why do we have major blow-ups over many times over minor issues? And James talks about this in the scripture reading that we just read this morning. And he gives us both the causes and the cures. He gives us the reasons for arguments, and he gives us the remedy to avoid them. Now, at the very start of this message, I want you to do something for me. I want you to think of the person that causes the most conflict in your life. Now, you're going to get the most out of this message if you think about the person who causes conflict in your life. And then you're going to see how to avoid arguments with them. So I want you to think about that. Well, what are the causes for arguments? The causes for arguments is desires. Long before modern psychology came along, James had some profound insights on the causes of conflict. And we read that in the first verse of our reading this morning. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And James says that the causes of argument is conflicting desires. And when my wants conflict with what you want, then the sparks are going to fly. And so what are those desires that James is talking about? The Bible makes very clear here and other places in Scripture that there are three basic desires we have that causes conflict. These desires are legitimate desires, that, unless they're out of control. They're God-given desires. They're things that God created us with. But when you put them above other people, your desires, when you become number one and they become number one in your life, what you want, then there is conflict. And what are those desires? Here's the first one. The desire to have. We want to have things. And we want to buy things. In verse 2, it says, you want what you don't have. And so you long what others have. In other words, God created things to be used and enjoyed. And that's what they're there for. But we are to use things and to love people. Here's the problem. Here's the ugly problem. The problem is when we start loving things and using people, manipulating people to get what we want, because things become more important in your life than people. You know, it's very easy to fall in love with things these days. Just look at all the commercials on TV and on your computer and in other places that promise that you can have more fun if you buy these. You can be more satisfied if you would just get these things. That you will be more desirable if you buy these things and look this way. We are just catered to be promised that we can have more fun, more satisfaction, more desire if we would just buy their product. The reality is that we discover that it actually doesn't live up to its promise. We buy these things, we get these things, we accumulate them, and we don't feel more satisfied. Oftentimes we feel more empty inside. What is that feeling? What is that empty feeling? That void that we know is not satisfied? It's the feeling that something important in our life is missing. And we were told that if we just got this, it would fulfill that, and it didn't. Something is missing. What is missing in our life that is not feeling that satisfaction? There's a great tragedy today with the emptiness of people trying to fill their lives with things. We have such a strong desire to have, and it causes all kinds of conflicts. But here's another desire that we have that causes conflict. The second thing is the desire to feel. I want to feel good. I want to be comfortable. I want to have my senses satisfied. And in verse 3, it says, you want only what gives you pleasure. It's not wrong to enjoy life. And it's not wrong to want that. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God made everything for your enjoyment. But when pleasure becomes the number one goal in your life, if it feels good, we say, do it, because that's what you need or want. When you do that, you're asking for conflict. When my pleasure takes the place over what is needful, then I'm in trouble. The fact is, if I'm more interested in my comfort than I am in yours, and my desire is opposed to what you want, then resentment builds up. If I'm wanting to feel good and feel pleasurable and I can't have that because what you're doing or what you want conflicts with that, then I become resentful. My desire to feel good creates conflict with yours. Now, here's the third desire that we have that causes conflict. The third thing is the desire to be. Now, this is pride, power, prominence, and popularity. I want to be number one. I want to be better than others. I want to be better than you. I want to have more than you have. It's desire for me first. We walk around saying, watch me. Watch me, everybody. Look how I've succeeded. Look how I've accumulated. Watch me, everybody. But we say it in subtle ways. Watch the way I dress. You see the clothes I wear? Watch the kind of car I drive. You see what I got? Watch me by the kind of house I own. It's a desire to impress. And it's the desire full of pride to be number one, to impress. And Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to arguments. Why? I'm too proud to compromise, and that causes conflict. Have you ever been in an argument where you knew you were wrong, but you wouldn't admit it? Bonda, have I ever done that?
No.
Why? Why do we do that? Why wouldn't we admit to it? Because of pride. Pride causes arguments. James tells us that pride, when we think we can do things on our own, causes two problems. In verses 2 and 3, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask for the wrong motives. And here James is telling us two reasons why our desires aren't fulfilled. And number one is, we don't pray. We don't ask God. We look to the wrong source. We look to people to fulfill our needs instead of looking to God. And God says, I'll meet your needs. Just pray. However, when we do pray, we usually pray with the wrong motive. That's the second reason why our desires aren't fulfilled. We ask things in a selfish way. The Bible has said that everything I need, God has promised to provide. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God cares about you enough to give you everything that you need? I didn't say want. I said need. God says He will meet our desires to have, to be, to feel, if we'll just ask for it in prayer. But when I'm upset, that's the last thing on my mind is to pray. James says, you see, that's the problem. We'd rather try to work it out on ourselves. Prayerlessness is in itself evidence of pride, that we're not praying, that we're not trusting God, that we're not depending on God, we're not believing God. Why don't I pray? Because I can think I can do it myself. If I really thought I was more dependent upon God and I needed Him more, wouldn't I pray more? James says we have a lot more peace if we just prayed more. We'd have a lot less to worry about. And we'd have a lot less to argue about, a lot less to fight over if we just prayed more and trusted God more. In the next verses, James talks about conflict with God. Pride not only causes conflict with other people, it causes conflict with God. In verse 6, it said, God opposes those kind of people. God opposes the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. God declares war on selfishness. Have you ever noticed that God has a unique way of engineering circumstances to pop our pride, to bring us to our knees, to show us that we're not in control of life? Just about the time you think, well, I've got my life together, things are going my way, God puts you in your place if you think you don't need Him. If somehow you think where you are, you got there on your own ingenuity or education or abilities or decision. To be in opposition with God is a dangerous place to be. It's a dead end, actually. There's no way you're going to win. Not if God loves you and God needs to teach you. If pride is the cause of arguments, and that's the case here that James is making, what's the cure then? What do we do about it? Here's the cure for arguments. It's humility. In verses 6 and then later in 10, it says that God gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. What is grace? Grace is God's power to change. What would you, this morning, what would you like to change about yourself? Is there anything in your life that you need to have changed? Whatever it is, you can't do it yourself. You need God's grace to do it. You can't change it on your own. You need God's power, and that's called grace. Grace is the power to change, and there is only one way you get grace. You humble yourself. God doesn't give grace to people who are full of pride and think, well, I can do this all on my own. He gives it to those who come to Him and said, God, I need Your help. And that's where we get the power to change the things, make the changes that we need to have in our life. That's where we get the power to make the changes that we see. James gives four specific actions that need to be taken in order to stop conflicts with others, to stop the arguments, to stop the fighting. And here's how you diffuse a conflict. No matter who's it's between, you do these four things, James says, to diffuse a conflict. And the first one is, you give it to God. In other words, Scripture says, submit yourselves then to God. Verse 7, let God be God in your life. Give Him control. Put Him in charge. Yield yourself to Him. This is the starting point. Quit trying to run your own life. James says that conflicts that happen with other people happens because you have conflict on the inside of your life. And that's the real issue here, he says. The starting point is getting peace inside of you so that you can have peace on the outside with other people. Find peace of mind. Find peace in your heart. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. The starting point of getting along with others to avoid arguments is to get peace in your heart through the rule of Christ. You stop praying, Lord, change them. Take away this conflict I'm having. Make them different. Do something about this argument we're having. Instead of praying, Lord, change them, you start praying, change me. Lord, change me. This means you learn to pray, Thy will be done, Lord, instead of saying, My will be done. That's the difference. When you can say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want, then the peace process starts. And here's the second thing to get wise and to be able to overcome conflict is to diffuse it, is get wise to Satan. Realize that what the devil is doing in your life. Realize where the conflict comes from and that the devil is the source behind it. Don't be ignorant, we're told. Realize that it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, the word resist means to be prepared. The devil wants to destroy your relationships with others. Why? Because he knows that he loves conflict. He loves argument. He wants to cause confusion. He wants to cause argument. He wants to hurt feelings. He wants to see people disappointed. He wants to see people angry. He wants to see chaos. That's what the devil wants to see. He loves to do it. And James says, you've got to give in to God and let Him have control of your life. Then resist the devil and realize what he's doing. Be prepared. How does the devil operate? He doesn't stand around with a pitchfork with some kind of funny red suit on with two horns sticking out. That's not the devil you're fighting against. It's not that at all. The devil is the one speaking into your ear right now and playing on your pride. He's saying, you don't really think this message is from God, do you? You don't really think God's trying to tell you you need to do something, do you? You don't really think that God wants to do something in your life today in this service. That's Satan. And that's what he's doing. That's how he operates. He whispers in your ear things like, you don't have to listen to this. You don't have to take this kind of stuff. Show them who's boss. That's Satan. He tells you all the things that you want to hear. He tells you all the things that pride loves to hear. And the scripture says you need to resist him. You need to resist those words, that voice. How do you resist the devil? Well, the same way Jesus did. How did Jesus resist Satan? Remember when he went out in the wilderness and he was tempted? Well, the way Jesus resisted Satan, he quoted scripture. You remember that Satan said, look, I know you're hungry. You've been out here many days in the wilderness praying. And why don't you turn these stones to bread? And how did Jesus resist that temptation? Because he was hungry. That was a good suggestion. He did have the power to do that. But Jesus said, the scripture says, you don't live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. And so he quoted scripture. And that's what we need to do. Maybe you need to memorize this verse of scripture from Proverbs 13:10. It says, pride leads to arguments. Memorize that. Pride leads to argument the next time you're arguing with someone. The next time you get into that argument, stop and think, how am I being prideful here? What am I doing in this situation? Where am I only thinking of myself? And I'm not interested in the other person's needs or desires or attitudes or what they have to say. The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Be prepared. Give in to God and get wise to what Satan is lying to you about. You know, Satan is the father of lies. And this past year has been one of the worst years I've seen of people lying. For what reason? Because of their pride? Because what they wanted to do in their own accomplishments? Oh, how evil it's been this past year. Here's the third thing that I need to share with you to diffuse conflict, and that is to grow closer to God. How do you grow close to God? I really think, one of the easiest, one of the best ways to grow close to God is to get into His Word, to be reading His Word every day. And that's why we have been promoting this last year and this year. Read through God's Word with us this year, because reading the Word of God is one of the best ways to get close to God. You can do that by going to church and hearing the Word of God there. But usually you're limited to how much you hear about the Word of God in church. Usually it's once a week or something like that. But every day in the scripture reading, you can do it. You can do it in Bible study. There's all kinds of things that help you grow closer to God. You can do it in listening to Christian music. This is what the scripture says in verse 8. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. I've made an amazing discovery that the more time I spend in the Bible, alone with God, the better I get along with other people. Count on it. You grow closer to God and you have less arguments with others. Often we only draw close to God when we're in trouble. We most often call on God when we have a problem. We need to spend time with God every day instead of waiting for the problems to come to be prepared for the problem. We need a daily devotional time. Maybe you say, you're too busy. You know, you got so many things going on with your family and your work and your kids and grandkids and so forth. You're saying you're too busy. But let me say this. If you say that, then maybe you're too busy. Think about that. The more you spend time with the Lord, the more you're going to enjoy the rest of your time. You'll get along better with others. You'll have fewer arguments because you're spending time with God. And I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to join in reading God's Word, even a little bit, every day. When you move toward God, God moves toward you, the Scripture said. You give it to God. You get wise to Satan, you draw close to God, and then here's the last point that I wanted to share with you today about overcoming conflict, is that be willing to ask forgiveness. If you want to stop the conflicts in your life, if you really want to get along with other people, if you want to avoid arguments, learn to ask for forgiveness from God, from those that you hurt. In verse 8 it says, wash your hands and purify your heart. And our hands, I think, represent our conduct. It's what we do. And our hearts, in this verse, represent our attitudes. It's what we think and what we think of others. James says, clean up your act. In verse 9, and from the Living Bible, it says, let there be tears for the wrong that you have done. Don't minimize what's happened. Take it seriously when you hurt someone. Be sorry for your self-centeredness. It is a big deal when someone's feelings are hurt. Take it seriously. If someone says that you've hurt them, then you've hurt them, no matter whether you think it should hurt them or not. It may not be a big deal to you, but it was to them. Be willing to ask forgiveness. Now, as I close the service today, I want us to go back to that person I asked you to think about when we began this message. Would you like to begin to resolve the conflict that you might have with that person, the person that you have the most conflict with? How do you do it? Are you willing to go and apologize to them for your part? Maybe they are 95% wrong in this conflict, and you're only 5% at fault at what happened to cause this argument. But what do you need to do? Well, you need to take care of your 5% and let God handle the other 95% in their life. In other words, their response is their response, and let God take care of that. But you might say, well, I know we've had our differences. This is something you might say to such a person. I know that we've had our differences, and I know I haven't always been thoughtful. I know a lot of times I've thought more about myself than I have about your needs. How humble would that be? Right? Because God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the one, no matter what their amount of influence has been in the conflict, God gives grace to the humble. If you want to change, the only way you're going to change is to be humble. And to be humble means that you are able to say, you know, I've had a part in this wrong too. And I want to ask your forgiveness. And the only way to be humble is to ask for that, to ask for forgiveness for your part. In verse 10, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. The Bible says that God lifts up the humble, and the more honest we are about the fact our weaknesses and our faults, and the more God honors us for making that coming to that point. If you want to be honored, it means humility. In the first three verses of this chapter that we read this morning, four times it says, you're unsatisfied. You want, but you don't get. You strive, but you can't have. You're unsatisfied. And many people in life are unsatisfied with the way they are living. They know something's missing. They know their life is not what it should be. And what is missing? The secret of satisfaction of what is missing oftentimes is Jesus Christ. And the scripture says over and over, give yourself to Christ and find your needs will be met in Him rather than in things. That if you're looking for happiness and fulfillment and life and you're looking for it in things, you're not going to find it. The world is not able to give you what you need. Only Jesus can give you what you need. Jesus is all we will ever need. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, would you help me to think of others and not just of my own desires? Help me to be willing to admit that I am wrong when I am. I've been selfish at times, and I'm sorry. God, the Bible says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Well, God, give me the power to be humble and to change and to become the person you've always wanted me to be. Oh God, today I want to give in to you. I want to give you my life, my marriage, my career, my all. I submit it all to you. I ask you to put the peace of Christ in my heart to rule. And help me to get wise to Satan, to realize he plays on my pride and tells me things I want to hear, but really that only makes matters worse. Father, help me to grow closer to you, to make time in my schedule for time with you. Father, I admit that many times I've put me first, and I ask you to forgive me. Help me to become like Jesus, to have the attitude that he had, to not only look after my own interests, but also the interests of those around me. Teach me to say, thy will be done, instead of me first. And oh God, I know if there's somebody here in my hearing this morning in this service, if someone here has never invited Jesus Christ into their life, may they do it right now. May they ask Jesus to come into their heart and life. And thank you for giving us Jesus here in this Easter time. I don't need more of the world. What I need is Jesus. And I know if I have Jesus, then I can have more peaceful relationships and less conflict and less strife, and less argument and more love and more joy and more peace. And that's what I want. And I want it now. And that's why I invite Jesus in. Come in now and make me new again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.